Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachiomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, opens up a fascinating series of prakim that range from Perek Yud Gimel, right, the 13th chapter, until Perek Chaf Gimel. And they focus not on the Jewish people per se, but their turn to the other nations. And these nevuot are called the Masa'ot, and they are said by Yeshayahu, but directed towards all the other nations that surround Israel. Now, interestingly, all of the major Nevi'im, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, they all have sections in their book that are devoted to prophecies about the other nations. And in fact, this idea of a Jewish prophet who speaks to other nations really goes back from before the Nevi'im, it goes back into the Torah, because Moshe spoke much of his prophecy to Paro. And while his goal was certainly to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, that wasn't his only goal. Remember, in Moshe's first conversation with Paro, when he told Paro to let the Jewish people go because Hashem commanded them to serve him in the Midbar in the desert, Paro responded by saying, "Mi Hashem, Sheshma Bekolo," right? Who is Hashem? And this denial, Paro's denial of Hashem's existence, becomes kind of like a recurring theme throughout Moshe's back and forth with Paro and all of their deliberations. And a number of times throughout the stories in the Makot and throughout Moshe's conversations with Paro, this idea that Moshe is not only trying to get the Jews out of Egypt, but he's also trying to show something to the world and to make an impact on Paro comes out in many of the psukim. For example, right, one of them, Hashem says to Moshe, right, why is he doing this? Leman teida shani Hashem bekerav haaretz, so that people will see that I'm Hashem who's in the midst of the land. This has an impact on not only the Jewish people, but it has an impact on the way the people will perceive Hashem. Now, well, we know that Moshe, using that example, that Moshe delivered his message to Paro, it's very unclear, and in many cases even unlikely, that these Masa'ot were actually reached these other nations. So what then is the purpose of these Masa'ot? So what we'll do is let's read a little bit, and then we'll come back and try to give an answer to this question. So the Masa'ot speak to many different nations of the surrounding areas, but they begin with Bavel. And this Perek, Perek Yud Gimel, as well as the next Perek, Perek Yud Dalid, focus on Bavel. So let's just start with the first pasuk to frame us. Masa Bavel, Asher Chaza Yeshayahu Ben Amot. So this is the Masa. And really interestingly, like you could probably find it translated as an oracle, but Masa actually means a burden. And this is what Yeshayahu pronounced and delivered to Bavel or about Bavel. And this pronouncement, before even we go further, I just want to introduce one other question that we're not going to answer today, but I think that's an important one, is that up until now, we've discussed the enemy in this time period of the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom as well, we've always discussed Assyria. And Bavel, actually, Babylonia, won't rise for another century. And while ultimately they will be responsible for the exile of the Jewish people and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, we're still talking about a time far in the future. So why Bavel as opposed to Assyria, Ashur? So we're going to hold that question because this oracle against Bavel continues into the next parak as well. So that particular question we're going to discuss a little more tomorrow. Now, let's talk a little bit more about what's in this parak. What actually is prophesied? What does Yeshayahu prophesy about Bavel? So what's described here is a battle, a retribution against Babylonia, which will be destroyed and pulled down as a result of its sins. And one thing that comes up here again that we've seen earlier is this concept of Yom Hashem, the day of God. And we saw that earlier actually in Perek Bet, where Yeshayahu there included Israel in this concept of Yom Hashem. And, you know, they were also going to be subject to this like very destructive and difficult time period that would punish them for the negative things that they had done. Here, this Yom Hashem, is this day of God, is directed specifically against Babylonia, and it will be their day of judgment. And a battle is described, but it's a battle that has cosmic significance. So, for example, we'll look at in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yeshayahu says, Al Kain Shamayim Argiz, Vatirash Ha'aris Mim Koma, Be'evrat Adonai Tzvaot U'Biyom Charon Apo. Meaning, on that day, the heavens will shake, and even the earth, right, will tremble and jump, you know, out of its place. Why? Because of the anger of Hashem on this day that his anger burns. So it's not just, and there's other psukim that refer to this as well, that the whole, it's not just a battle between people, but the natural order will be shaken. And in psukim Yutet and Chaf, 19 and 20, Yeshayahu continues and describes like the bringing down of Babylonia and says, V'hayta Babel tzvi mamlachot tiferet ga'on kastim kemahapechat Elohim et Sdom ve'et Amora. And he says here that Babylonia, right, which was the glory of all kingdoms, right? It was the splendor. It was the country that was always looked up to as this huge dominating empire. And now it will become like Sdom and Amora. And interestingly, here again, right, we started Yeshayahu by Hashem's berating the Jews of Israel and saying, you will be destroyed. Unless you return, you'll be destroyed like Sdom and Amora. So here, this Yom Hashem and this Sdom and Amora are not turned against B'nai Israel, but here they're turned specifically against Babylonia. And he continues to explain why. Lo teshev is pasuk chaf, lo teshev lanetzach, v'lo tishkon ador vador. You won't live forever as you thought you would, right? This was an empire that thought that they were godly, and they thought that their establishment would be continuous through all generations. And he continues, lo yahel sham aravi v'ro'im lo yir betzu sham. Right? There will be no more shepherds, there will be no Arab will pitch his tent there. So all of that eternal, right, dreams that Babylonia had, that will be no longer. And I think this is specifically pointed against the arrogance of that we saw. We saw this arrogance very much about Assyria, right? Hoyashur Shevet Api, that the way that Assyria is described in Perek Yud about the sense of that their power will be eternal and they have a godlike power. Here it's talking about Babylonia, but Babylonia's power and their arrogance will not last forever, and they will be ultimately brought down on this Yom Hashem. And in a certain way, this does remind us, we started by talking about Paro and Egypt, and this does actually remind us of some of those conversations that Moshe and Hashem had against Paro, where Paro himself also saw himself as a divine power, and saw himself as an empire that would exist in this forever, that subjugated other people. And there too, his arrogance, his hubris was brought down. This same fate will happen to Babylonia. But to close, really, let's come back to the question we began with, that unlike Paro, right, Babylonia would not hear this pronouncement from Yeshayahu. You know, they certainly wouldn't, because they were not, they certainly wouldn't hear it from Yeshayahu, because they didn't even rise until post Yeshayahu's time. So what's the goal of this if it's not going to be delivered to Babylonia? And I think there's two possibilities among others, but let's just introduce two here. One is that it does give for us, right, for the Jewish nation, it does give, Yeshayahu is giving them a sense of hope that in the future, just like when they committed sins and crimes against humanity, that they would be punished for it, so too that the enemies that come up against them, they will be punished as well. And also, perhaps Yeshayahu writes this so that when these events actually do transpire, then the Jews will be able to look at them and say, oh yes, I do see Hashem's hand in that. And it kind of forces them, it gives them, in a way, a pretext to be able to see in historical events the might of Hashem's hand and Hashem's divine providence in making them happen. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.